This is a download from the BBC. To download other programmes or for more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
We don't have Oliver Stone, but we do have the good doctor. Good afternoon to you.
It's a poor replacement, isn't it?
And who needs him?
And it's Froderick.
Frankenstein.
Very good.
Dear DJ and Doctor, says Mel Merritt. I'd be more than happy to be added to your weekly list of hellos to kickstart you introducing more women to the list. Not an actress or director. Well, in fact, to be honest, I've got no connection with the business, unlike your other hellos. This is why I should be included. It would help boost the female hellos. You've got to start somewhere. I've only been married for a year and I'm still getting used to my new name, Mel Merritt. I'm celebrating my 30th birthday with a film character fancy dress party, and you're more than welcome. I'm B.A. Ons, Paul stroke Phil.
That's not a political philosophy.
Yes, not a rumour. Though I'm currently studying counselling and sewing. I recently went to see Mark record a Radio 4 programme. Me and my friend spotted Mark and Simon after the recording. Clearly Simon had gone along to support Mark, and we were pleased to see that you were friendly to each other off the air. But that was just an act.
It was an act in the foyer.
Because there were so many members of the
Exactly,
there.
Yes.
And my top 10 films would include Mary Poppins, Fight Club, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and When Harry Met Sally.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, that's, you know...
But I don't think you can be included.
Covers all the bases, though.
Martin and Jennifer Dorner in Berkeley, California. Dear Martin and Lewis, a few weeks ago, you told a listener that the reasons behind your weekly hellos to celebrities were too complicated to explain, but I'm sure I remember hearing you say that these were celebrities who had told you that they were regular listeners. If that's the criteria, then I don't think you should just add any female celebrity to your list. You should wait until a female celebrity is on your show or who writes in and claims to be a devoted listener. Which is fair enough, really. So maybe we're absolutely right to not have any women involved.
Well, no, I don't think I'm just going to step well away from this. Oh, there was
what?
We say hello
just
to the No, we say hello to the Subways. Well, their bassist is a woman. She jumps around.
What's her name?
She's Mrs. Subway's bassist. Yeah, he's called Mr. Subway guitarist, Mr. Subway drummer, and Mrs. Subway bassist.
Andy Crack, I'm thinking it is. It's C-R-A-I-K. He then puts it at the end of the email. I bet you're both discussing how to pronounce my name.
That's as in the crack.
Well, it could be crack as in the Northern Irish.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's why I said
but you
as
said
in
Craig.
The crack. No, that was a
Craig.
Joke. Because you read it out and then I said as in the crack.
It was the lack of comedy that fooled me.
I know. Well, Van Morrison recorded a version of that. And guess who did a cover version of Van Morrison's The Crack?
The Subways.
No! Liam Neeson.
The Dodge Brothers.
No, Liam Neeson. And it was a record in which Liam Neeson talked like Neeson.
Dear Sergeant Cannon and PC Ball, he says, being unable to catch the show live, I listen to the podcast each Saturday through earphones whilst doing one of the many weekend tasks I have to do. Unfortunately, it means I don't get to email the show during it to comment on whatever you're talking about or tune into the much-mentioned live video stream, which is happening at the moment, all of which leaves me with a sense that live listeners are having a more interactive experience than I. But after last week's show, I decided I must congratulate you on the most interactive podcast yet. As I recycled wood chippings and other garden waste at my local recycling centre, I couldn't help but respond out loud to much of what was being broadcast. It started gently and normally enough with a silent nod from me during the email about the movie of the week often being mentioned either nobody will get to see or something that hasn't actually been mentioned. Then the top 10 rundown where I mumbly disagreed with Mark's drubbing of Taken. Me. It's just Commando for the noughties. What's wrong with that? I then went on to a loud no when Mark... Sorry. No. When Mark included Raising Arizona on his zany list of Coen Brothers
films. It is.
Film.
Sorry.
By the time we got to the Eagle Eye review, which is what I was waiting for, I was screaming, mainly because of the length of time it took to get there. I kept looking at the progress bar on my MP3 player and could see there's about 5 minutes left of the show and you were both still conflabbing on about the term Hitchcockian, which I still think could be Hitchcocian.
Hitchcocian, yeah.
Is overused. But is it any good? I shouted loudly whilst emptying a bag of mulch over the wall of the tip. Eventually, I got the drift that Mark didn't like it that much.
It isn't
after which
good.
He said the word beification. Later on Saturday, I went to see Eagle Eye and actually felt it was more Smithian than Hitchcockian, as it resembled at least three of Will Smith's films, such as I, Robot and Enemy of the State.
I, Robert.
You then both spent 30 seconds arguing over whether you could fit in a 50-second clip of Igor into the show. Just press play, I was yelling. Eventually, in the closing seconds of the podcast, we came to the film of the week, and it was Young at Heart. And then he writes, A-A-A-A-R-G-H. Ah, I proclaimed, that film is at least 2 years old. I know that because I watched it on More 4 in November 2006. I'd agree with Mark that it's the better the film But it is the better film of those released last week, but as it's playing mainly nowhere, it is still a frustrating choice. He says, don't take this as criticism, but I truly felt part of the broadcast for once.
Very good. It's nice to feel that the listeners can get involved in that way, isn't it? That it is a whole interactive experience.
Even if they can't.
Even if they can't.
Even if they're listening to this as a podcast.
On the subject of interactive experience, let's make somebody in a foreign country say hello. Hello, Jason Isaacs.
Where is he?
I don't know, but and anyway, you just spoilt that moment, so can I do it again? It has to be silent so he can do it, pea brain. Hello, Jason Isaacs.
Hello, Stephen Fry.
Hello.
Kenneth Branagh, Pentangle, Fairport Convention, Dave Morrissey, who's the next Doctor.
Mr. and Mrs. Subways.
I say that because he's in the next Doctor, as Russell T. Davies said on this program.
Yes, but he's not the next Doctor.
Well, he wouldn't be committed. He is the next Doctor, but whether he is the next Doctor, the question whether you're putting the emphasis. Where are you putting the emphasis?
No, he's in the next Doctor.
So he is the next Doctor in the episode called The Next Doctor.
Oh, I see, but that might not be the Doctor.
He's the next Doctor. Ah. You see what I'm doing? So we're going to do some Bond stuff, obviously. We should do the box office top 10. Then
we should.
Louise will turn up with some travel. But okay. We'll do the top 10 while we're here, which will be appropriate. Thank you for the coffee, by the way. At 10, it's Tropic Thunder.
You're welcome. Could have done with being made for half the budget and less explosions and more jokes, but there are some jokes in it which are quite funny.
City of Ember is at 9.
I heard Toby Jones on the programme yesterday.
He was good.
He was very good.
He's great as Karl Rove.
I'm sure. Yeah, I haven't seen W yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Did you say W, or should we say W?
Well, no, because it's W, and then it says in brackets underneath it, D-U-B-W-A. It actually explains one of those things in which
so
you
we should say W.
Yeah, in the same way as that
we
one.
Could say
I go.
W.
No, because
that would also be work.
No, because D-U-B-W-A is how you have to say it. W. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's like Igor.
D-U-B-Y-A.
It says underneath.
D-U-B-Y-A.
What did I say?
W.
Dubwa. But now that's the version that's been remixed
kids,
by Mikey Dredd.
Dubwa. You know, if you're in Letterland, yeah. W. Have you gone and see W?
I haven't gone and see W. No. Did you ever see the Costa Gavras movie? Zzz.
No,
that was great.
We should do that. There should be a whole Letterland sequence.
Single times anyway. So, but no, Toby Jones was very good on the subject of City of Ember, and then you said to him that I had said that I didn't know who it was for, and I didn't know who it was for. But I missed the very beginning of that interview. I just came in when you were talking about
me.
No, I had to get
BBC iPlayer.
I had to get into the car. But I came in, and he was saying, "Yeah, why does Mark keep doing that? What does he know that I don't know?" What was that in relation to?
My favourite sequence is that which you might have... I was talking about the number of celebrities who come on and punch you.
Oh, yeah.
I said,
yeah.
This was started by Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, no, and I heard that. And he said Benedict Cumberbatch punched him. Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch is probably the most violent actor around.
We could get an ASBO out on him.
Almost certainly. Mm. So that's that one done. Mamma Mia is still there. It's
still
there.
Still holding in, as Kevin Spacey said, now and forever.
How to Lose Friends and Alienate People is number 7.
So, you know, it's a major drop down to number 7, but it did do much better than I thought. I still have great reservations about it. I don't think it's, you know, half as edgy or absurd because it should be in much the same way as The Devil Wears Prada. But I was pleasantly proven wrong by the fact that it went in at number 1 and did spend a couple of weeks knocking around the top end of the chart, which is good. I'm glad for that. I like Simon Pegg. I'm not a fan of the film.
Taken is at number 6, and Mark in Musselboro says, Dear Michael
it's
and Colin...
It's Commando for the noughties.
Dear Michael and Colin, despite the good doctor's review of Taken, my friends persuaded me to go along and see Liam Neeson trying to be Jason Bourne's dad the other night.
Very good.
Apparently, it has a 4.5-star audience rating, according to one leading cinema chain, and I was told that everyone I've spoken to says it's great. Well, the good doctor is, of course, right, and they are all wrong. Taken is yet another example... of the no American characters were harmed during the making of this movie, School of Cinema. Any amount of violence is justified if an American is in peril, and Johnny Foreigner had better watch out if an American ex-spy feels wronged. Seen it all before, and the product placement was blatant, which I didn't notice, but he says there were so many shots of German cars, the film could have been called Vorsprung durch Neckbreak.
That's very good.
Mr. Neeson was so much better as that nice Mr. Schindler.
Yeah, and I've yet to find anybody who has stood up at the appropriate moment and shouted, who's driving the boat? Which is, if anyone's seen the film, the big thing, who's driving the boat? One of two things. Either no one's driving the boat, in which case you're going to crash, or someone's driving the boat, in which case you need to go up and kill them.
And the other moment is, of course, where you stand, where the French copper turns up walking with a stick of baguette under his arm just to prove he's a French copper.
He does.
He should stand up and applaud that fine.
He shouldn't. And he smokes a gitane, has an affair with somebody, and retreats and collaborates.
Mirrors at 5.
It's all over the place, but then the original that it was based on is all over the place, doesn't it?
In fact, that's true. He never has a bath.
He never has a bath at all, and he smells of cheese.
The The house bunny at four.
Hugh Hefner. He's happy about it. I'm glad Hugh Hefner is happy about it.
Igor,
if you pay to see it, you're helping Hugh. Igor, I say, and well, Igor. But you see, Igor Froderick. That's hence the problem with Igor is it's basically a Tim Burton movie with all the Tim Burton taken out.
Which doesn't leave much.
No, exactly.
Eagle Eye at two.
I think we've covered in some depth, but the word beification is the word of the day, people.
The UK's number one movie is Burn After Reading.
Reading.
Jack in Oxford. Dear Dumb, Dumber, Dumberer and Simon, says Jack Blackburn. I was encouraged by the opening of that. I'm surprised by the good doctor. On Newsnight Review last week, he was heard to say that Burn After Reading was not a parody of spy films, despite the fact that he just didn't get this admittedly
strange film. No, hold on. Let me contextualise that.
Feel free to interrupt the email before he's made the point.
Yeah, I will, just to correct this on the grounds of, that yesterday you had a newsreader came in and said, so-and-so said, Richard Hammond said this, and Richard Hammond was sitting there and said, no, I didn't, what I said was
yes,
this.
Fine.
So to be correct, this. What happened was somebody said, it's a parody of spy films. I said, it's not a parody, as in a parody is a posh word for what it is. It's not a parody. It's just a goof. Carry on.
I kind of lost heart, really. From the first shot to this last... it doesn't make sense now. Anyway, he ends up by saying, maybe there are better films out there. I by no means think that the Coen Brothers' latest is anywhere near their best, but the only contender was Mr. Hefner's product. Which one is better? That's a no-brainer, surely. But anyway, you've kind of undermined Jack Blackburn in his very reason for living.
No, if I'm going to be quoted, I want to be quoted correctly.
Jacob Butler in The Hague in the Netherlands. Dear McCain and Palin, to clarify, very Mark good. Is the one with the real qualifications.
That'd be Palin, wouldn't it? I'm her because she's got better hair. No, I'm her because she's got hair.
Would you rather be Palin?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah, I'd rather be,
You'd rather be Palin than McCain?
I'd rather be the person with the good hair and the rifle.
Actually, Palin and McCain sounds better than McCain and Palin.
It does, yeah. McFadden and Whitehead.
Catching up on the reviews via the podcast, it struck me that Burn After Reading, clever, pretty people's play stupid, ugly people, sounds uncannily like a possible Ocean's clever, pretty people play stupid people, 14 in disguise.
Yeah.
This comparison, however, only goes so far. One redeeming feature of Burn After Reading is perhaps the absence of Julian, this film will be neither enjoyable nor good, Sands. Keep up the wittertainment. Anyway, that's the number one movie. Now, would it be appropriate to say that we'll be doing James Bond next?
It would be appropriate, because that would be true.
Quantum of Solace will be discussed.
You can't even say the title, can you? Give you a comparison. Ewan McGregor, when I interviewed Ewan McGregor about something else, and I asked him about the new Star Wars movie, and he went, yeah, the Star Wars movie, Attack of the Clones. And he was in it. It was one of those titles that you just can't, Quantum of Solace.
I've just been told that we're not doing Bond till after 3:30.
Okay, in that case, we're kicking off with...
What?
What should we do? High School Musical 3.
High School Musical 3. This is the movie of the week.
Or, for those who know, High School Musical.
That just sounds pathetic.
No, for those who know High School Musical. And have you seen any of the High School Musicals?
Yeah, well, I've seen one of them. It's been on.
It is our musical.
Is it?
Oh, for heaven's sake, you haven't been watching it.
No, not with that much
attention. That's one of the things when, your kids are nudging you on the settee. Wake up!
The worst of those experiences ever was undoubtedly the first Pokemon movie, many kids' movies are fantastic and instantly enjoyable.
Pokemon, one of them.
That was definitely the worst one.
Yeah, but I saw that in the cinema. Didn't I see it in the cinema with you?
I saw it in the cinema sitting next to Phil Jupiter, who fell asleep instantly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so listen, James Bond, after 3:30, because we've got some special bits and pieces, some special clips which we want to play.
Okay, awesome. Or indeed some clips.
At the moment.
Yeah, fine.
Actually, it might just be the bog standard clip, whichever one.
No, they were biking them over, but sadly the bike got interrupted by a helicopter with a rocket launcher and a car going off the side of a cliff. So at the moment they're being parachuted down.
So we'll talk James Bond after 3:30 because we want to play you a clip from the movie, but that clip hasn't arrived yet, but its arrival is imminent. Ben McCrory in Manchester, but we could reenact it.
Yeah, go on.
Would IBM?
The name's...
IBM,
would be...
It's very good.
Do you know why...
What?
..the computer in 2001 is called HAL?
I have been told
because it's one better than IBM. HAL is one before IBM.
That's very good. But if the new Oliver Stone movie is going to be what, then presumably M is just going to be which will anyway. Ben McCrory in Manchester is the long-awaited sequel to V about the alien lizard invasion of the Earth. And if not,
Very good, very good. But that was a TV thing, wasn't it? And that had
sorry, I should have been
so we got a and a w, right? There is a film called X. And so that's not bad going.
I'm sure it'll be added to before we finish. Sophie and Ealing, hi Woody and Buzz. I'm going to see High School Musical 3 in a couple of hours. Please could Kermode give me... That's a very public school. Give me some advice as to what I should do to stop banging my head against the seat during it. I mean, it can't be that bad, can it? Also, hi from Kim. Jason Kaplan, listening online in New York. Dear Turner and Hooch, I've just had the immense pleasure of watching Mark's review of High School Musical 3 via his video blog on the BBC. Well, you've done it already.
I did a little thing about its progress. I did a little thing about its progress from DVD to film.
Don't do it again. Okay. Pippa on this. Dear Daphne and Osgood, can you please ask Dr. Kermode why the BBFC website is showing High School Musical 3 as having a U certificate, but local cinema website has it as a PG? If it is a PG, can he let us know what in particular might need to be censored by parents in this squeaky clean franchise?
Well, I believe
frankly,
it to be
I
you.
Cannot imagine.
I believe it to be you. In fact, the BBFC website says very clearly it contains no material likely to offend or harm.
Well, let's put that to the test. Tell us about High School Musical 3.
Fine. So now, it's really interesting when you see the way that the critics have worked out with this. I've seen a couple of one-star reviews for High School Musical 3, and I sat in the National Press Show with, you know, people who were audibly tutting, going, oh, for heaven's sake. So in case you don't know, the first two High School Musical movies were made they're straight for television, and then they came out on DVD over here. I think they were made for Disney Channel, and the first one was a huge hit. The standard line in them is that the first one's really, really good. The second one, it's girls like it, boys don't, because there's too much smushing. And the third one therefore is kind of returned from. What's interesting is that it's gone from being a TV and video thing into being a television production, as opposed to the other way round, like something like the Amityville Horror, which starts out producing sequels and then they end up being on DVD. Now, if you have kids of a certain age, which I do and which you do, you cannot have missed High School Musical 3, although frankly the fact that you didn't get the musicale gag seems to suggest to me that you have missed it. My daughter said to me really stingily, she said, you're not a proper film critic. And I said, why? She said, because you haven't seen High School Musical. And I said, well, no, I haven't seen High School Musical because it never came out in the cinema. She said, no, but it's everyone's seen it and you're the only one who hasn't seen it. So after, and I resisted, boy, did I resist. But it was only the constant stinging refrain in my house of, Daddy's not a film critic, made me finally go, okay, fine, I'll sit down and watch High School Musical. And I did sit down and watch High School Musical. You know what's great? Fine.
It's Grease for kids, isn't it?
It is Grease for kids, except Grease. It's funny. Have you seen Grease recently?
Why would I do that?
Well, pleasure.
No.
Have you seen Grease 2 recently?
No. Why would I do that?
Reproduction. Where does the pollen go? It's amazing, that film.
On that basis, I am very glad I made the choice I did.
Fine. The thing about Grease is it is actually quite racy. I mean, I don't know whether you know, if you listen to the single release versions, for example, of Grease Lightning, everyone will know this. They're fairly heavily censored from the version that's in the film. I mean, it has kind of dialogue in it that nowadays I think would be up there with the 12 certificate. It's a slightly ruder movie than you
wella,
remember.
Wella.
No. But I don't mean that. That's not Grease Lightning. That's some.
No, but it's all, you know, did you get very far?
Exactly,
and all that.
And tell me, did he ever cut? Yeah, exactly. But Grease Lightning is worse. Grease Lightning has got something they actually have to cut out for the gig played on Radio 1. No, you know all that. And of course, when Grease started on stage, Richard Gere was in, and it wasn't actually aimed at kids at that point. So it's developed kids' audience later on. High School Musical were always absolutely aimed at kids, and they were squeaky clean. And I think they're all filmed in Utah, and they have that kind of. That's what they are. They're nice, bright, colourful. Absolutely fun, no trouble, no worry. U certificate, no, contains nothing likely to offend. And the basic plot is that there's a dilemma going on, which is, does our hero want to be a jock because he's a very good sporty boy, or does he want to be into musicales and get into theatrical productions? And this is basically the plot that goes all the way through number one, two, that comes back in number three, same thing again. You're a central couple, they're both involved in the High School Musical, but this time it's their final year. And all these people who we've grown to absolutely know and love, one of them is Zac Efron, the lead girl, incidentally, I didn't realise this until yesterday, the lead girl is Tintin in Thunderbirds. That's perhaps explains to me why my daughter went, duh.
That's what daughters
Tintin
are for.
Tintin in Thunderbirds. She went, yeah, like, where have you been? Chillax, Grandad. You know, it was like that. So anyway, so they've got the same problem, but it's their final
She's
year.
She's 26, your daughter, as well. Isn't extraordinary.
They're all going to have to go their separate ways. But in the meantime, they've got one last High School Musical production. And the dilemma's the same. Should they be jocks or should they be in a musicale? Here's a clip.
Look, I'll be retaking my finals two or three times. I'm moving into the library.
I'm working on my truck every day after school.
I've got five recipes to nail for my family science final.
We've got a yearbook to edit, so no.
Sorry, geez, I just thought since it was the last show, everyone would want to do it.
No,
Hey, you guys listen up. Kelsey's right. We should do this. This is our last chance to do something together. All of us. Something really fun.
Oh, yippee.
So what do you say, Wildcats?
No, I still don't think it's a good idea.
Come on, guys.
I'm in. It'll be fun.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, how much time will it take?
Yeah, and what the heck is the show about?
It's about all of you.
Go.
And all of you will create it. A show about your final days at East High. We'll call it Senior Year.
Let's put the show on here and, you know...
Say that again.
Let's put the show on here. It's one of those, let's do the show in the barn. It's the same film as before, but now on a big screen with new songs. And so, now, an awful lot of sneering when the film came out, so I'm going to leap straight to its defence. First thing I'm going to say is I really enjoyed it. When I was in the cinema, I really, really enjoyed it. And did I cry buckets when it got to the end when they are all finally leaving? I cried.
You didn't.
No, I did.
I know you cry all the time. You didn't cry in High School Musical.
No, I did.
Three.
I did. And not just a little one. I had a proper swelling up because at the end they're all going off and they sing this lovely song about this is the best time we ever had.
How does it go,
this
that is the song? Tell us.
No, I can't sing it. I really can't sing it because I'm a 45-year-old fat bloke, right? And that's really not going to work. But it was really moving. They think about how this is the best thing that's ever happened to them and how they're all going to go for it. And really not in a postmodern, ironic way. Welled up, thought, lovely, well done. Now, on the serious front, the people sneering about it and complaining about it, the performance is really good. Zac Efron, as everybody knows, is a great big rising star. He was in Hairspray. He was really, really terrific. That woman, whose name is Vanessa Ann Hudgens, who I like very much in Thunderbirds and has been the central sort of character in this, does well. But the real star of these films is Ashley Tisdale, who plays Sharpay. Toodles. And Sharpay is the kind of, you know,
Was I supposed to get that?
You didn't watch High School Musical, did you?
No, it was kind of on, and my 8-year-old was in a production of it. And he was quite good.
How do you not know Toodles?
Because I couldn't.
Well, she's funny. She's genuinely funny. And
why is she funny? What did she do?
What do you mean? Why is she funny?
Why? What does she do?
Because she does things that make me laugh.
Like what?
Well, she says words out loud that have humour in them, and I go hard. Like Toodles.
What?
Like when I say it's not funny, but when she does it, it's funny.
Well, see, she says Toodles.
That's what she said. How can you not know this?
And then you cried.
No, I didn't cry. Her saying Toodles. I cried when they all got together and said, it's been so great. We've all done this thing together and it's all been terrific. And haven't we all had a good time? And I'm sitting there going, yes. And it's not just you. I've had a good time too. And I know my kids have loved it, but I've really got quite involved in these characters. They're all going off. And it's funny because the reason I brought up Grease 2 is that there's this desperate sense in Grease 2 that they're trying to make you think, you know, at the end of Grease, there's all thing where they're all leaving Riddell High. And then at Grease 2, they bring in a new lot of people, but you don't care about them. It's Maxwell Caulfield. That's his name, isn't it? Maxwell Caulfield, who later turns up in straight-to-video erotic thrillers like Sins of Desire. And so his career completely tanked. But they are talented. They can really sing. Boy, can they dance. They can dance and throw around basketballs at the same time. And there's one sequence which is called The Boys Are Back. And there are these two guys dancing in this sort of car, and they're on tyres, and they're off tyres, they're on cars. I mean, all these middle-aged and upwards film critics sit there going, oh, honestly, it's like, I'm sorry, I'd like to see you do that. These are really talented, smart, intelligent young performers who are, you know, working like crazy to make this thing hang together, and they're doing a really good job of it. And the songs are good, and the choreography is good, and the colour is all bright, and it gave me a nice, warm feeling about how, you know, lovely and entertaining a youth certificate movie can be. And then it finished, and I was sad to see them go.
Do you think you liked it a bit too much?
Nope.
If there was a nice, neat box set available for Christmas, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, although two is the issue. Two's the issue. One and three. Two's the issue. Too much smushing.
Okay, so that could be movie of the week. You never know. This from Bob. Dear Damp Spot and Codpiece, I eagerly await Mark's review of Question of Quantum of Solace.
Question of Solace. Well, that's the one that's hosted by
I'm confused because he put QOS, which is Question of Sport. You see?
Ah!
So that could confuse a stupid person as well. Anyway, although due to the reinvention of the franchise through Daniel Craig's superb performance in Casino Royale, I've already booked my seats for next Friday. Despite the obvious and shameful product placement in Casino Royale, which is what... Thank you, Bob, for reminding us of that, because it was shocking.
It was shocking.
It was surely the best Bond film ever made, and closer to the Bond of the novels. Daniel Craig must surely be ranked as one of the best British actors, with his performances in Notorious, Layer Cake, Golden Compass and Enduring Love demonstrating his talent and versatility. At last, we have a Bond who is believable and plays the role with enthusiasm and eludes an air of nastiness instead of pantomime Moore or Swank Brosnan. It is the closest characterization of the Bond that Fleming wrote about that any actor has managed, and I firmly hope that he maintains this in Question of Sport. I will be disappointed if Mark doesn't rate Question of Sport, but it doesn't stop me from going next week, albeit with a heavier heart. You'll have to wait and find out, because the clips have arrived.
You didn't ask Toby Jones about wrestling with Daniel Craig in Infamous.
No, I didn't.
You really let that slip away, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Is that it? Is
Broadcaster of the year.
Is there an
thin field this year, was it?
Is there an upside to this conversation?
No, that was
Shall
it.
We just yeah. fast forward onto your review of Question of Sport in a moment?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, all right.
But he's been raving about High School Musical. Don't worry about where he's
hang on.
I was allowing the audience to
draw that conclusion.
Have
you seen High School Musical 3? Have you seen it?
No.
Fine.
Thankfully.
So don't. Okay?
Matt, have you seen it?
Have you seen it?
No.
Call yourself.
Am I going to see it? No.
Simon says he has seen High School Musical.
One of them has been on Toodles.
He's never heard Toodles. Yeah, that's like saying, you see Citizen Kane? Yeah, what about that sledge? What sledge? You can't see High School Musical and not know Toodles.
Justine's typing, so what are you typing?
Breaking news. I'm just sorting it out. You just talk about Toodles. Really, I'm not.
Just let us know when you're ready.
I'm ready now. It's fine.
Philippa. Dear Simon and
Philippa's
the amazing...
Face.
Dear Simon and the Amazing Dancing Bear. Not a good song that was. This is from Philippa, as you know. Later today, I'm taking my 13-year-old daughter and her mate, taking in the chauffeuring sense, to see High School Musical at our local multiplex.
Top school.
As I couldn't bear the prospect of watching Zac Efron et al. For a single minute.
He's great!
I am going to see something else at the same time. I've always tried that. It's a very neat trick. Having rejected most of the alternatives as utter dross and a complete waste of time and money, I've booked for Ghost Town. I do hope Mark likes it. Okay, so what we will guarantee, if nothing else, we'll do QOS, Quantum of Solace, Question of Sport.
And Ghost Town.
Yeah. As a minimum.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
Minimum.
Before 4 o'clock.
Unless we get sidetracked. Will not be affected.
Have you finished writing the news?
Do you know what Simon does in screening? He takes his kids to see screening, then he listens to the radio while the film's on.
I have done that.
He has done that.
I have done that if I've had reason to listen to Five Live commentary at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore because it's more
depressing. Laughing out of context.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
As another dismal set of football news comes through. Tim in Nottingham. Dear Romeo and Juliet, anyone going to see High School Musical 3 is at risk of dying from acute cholesterol poisoning from all the cheese, and as such, this film should come with a health warning. If High School Musical 3, says Martin London, is movie of the week, I'm never listening ever again.
Prepare to change stations. Hello to Charlotte Cooper. Word. She's the bassist from the Subways. She's going on our list. Charlotte Cooper.
Okay.
She's a great bassist.
I think so much stuff already about Quantum of Solace.
Okay.
Let's proceed with clips ready to go. They've just arrived. They're hot and steaming. Take it away, the good doctor.
So Daniel Craig, as we all know, best Bond since Connery. I mean, I think some people would say best Bond ever. I remember when this whole thing started off and people were saying, oh, he's not, you know, they were saying, oh, James Blonde, remember all that, and saying he was kind of wimpy and he wasn't. And I was the person who said, no, he's a great actor, and that's the point. They made a really smart movie. They cost me. And I think there is no doubt that Daniel Craig is terrific and is either the best Bond since Connery or is simply the best Bond. And Casino Royale, I think, put it on the map. But let's not forget, before Casino Royale came out, there was all those naysayers and we were in the camp of saying, no, he's the right man for the job. Casino Royale effectively reimagined the Bond franchise in the wake of the Bourne movies, and it did do that. I mean, you start with that, you know, that kind of parkour sequence, that running, jumping, that sense of real physical pain and real, you know, loss and endangerment, which you didn't have in the movies beforehand. That had kind of absolutely fallen by the way. And it was a very tough 12 Civic. Remember my suggestion at the time was, do not take young kids to go and see Casino Royale, because you know the torture scenes in it are really painful.
Yes.
You sit there, you wince, you know, you think, blimey, that really is painful. And this, again, following on from that, new movie is directed by Mark Forster, who's a character filmmaker. I mean, he's known for things like, you know, Monsters Ball and Kite Runner, although there are other movies in the back catalogue which should give you, I think, you know, pause for thought, like Stranger Than Fiction. But the point is, he's a character director. He's somebody who does, you know, films about people. Script credits include Paul Haggis, who I absolutely love. Crash was, you know, I was one of the few people who said Crash is an outside possibility for Best Picture, and then it kind of went ahead and won it. And of course, he is a writer primarily rather than a director. And this new film picks up exactly where Casino Royale left off, pretty much. You've got Bond reeling from the loss of Vesper and now on the trail of a, you know, another sinister businessman played by Mathieu Almerec, who the last time I saw him was being so fantastic in The Diving Bell and The Butterfly. So everything is in place for a fantastic time. This is a clip. Obviously, I have no idea what the clip is because it just arrived,
but it doesn't matter.
It's a Bond clip.
It's noisy. Neither of us have heard this, so let's just guess.
Okay.
It's noisy.
Yeah.
A few crashes.
Mm-hmm.
bit of shouted dialogue.
Yeah. Now it'll be a really quiet scene with them. Let's have a listen.
You look like hell. When's the last time you slept? Vespa's boyfriend, Youssef Kabira, the one who was abducted in Morocco, the one she was trying to save. His body was washed up on a beach in Ibiza. We're meant to believe the fish did that to his face. His wallet and ID were in his pocket.
Oh, that's convenient.
Quite. Which is why I did a DNA check on a lock of his hair found in Vespa's apartment. It's not him.
A lock of his hair? I wouldn't have thought Vespa the sentimental type.
We never really know anyone, do we? But I do need to know, Bond. I need to know that I can trust you.
And you don't?
Well, it'd be a pretty cold if you didn't want revenge for the death of someone he loved.
You don't have to worry about me. I'm not going to go chasing him. He's not important. And neither was she.
You were completely set up there, wasn't it? It was straight into Judi Dench. Had to happen.
I thought they'd send us a bit noisy. No. Okay. Clip that made no sense.
Are you going to read that, or can I just plough on?
You plough on, mate.
Okay, fine. So, good news. Daniel Craig is...
When you say, do you want to read that? It's not as though I'm reading a book or a newspaper while you're listening, while you're reading stuff.
No.
These are just emails.
Okay.
I just wanted to make it quite clear that I'm listening to every word that you're about to say.
Really? Well, that would make a change.
Take it away.
Okay. Toodles. Daniel Craig... great as Bond, and the running time is really short, and actually I think
1 hour 46.
Yeah, so 106 minutes, which is great, because I'm all for brevity and cutting to the chase. That's the good news. Here's the bad news. It's all over the shop. I mean, it is a mess and a half of a film. Let's attempt to do this systematically. Let's start where it starts. Theme tune, rubbish. Can't hum it, can't remember it, can't sing it. Worst theme tune since Duran Duran's View to a Kill.
Thanks, Grandad.
No, sorry, fine. Do me the theme tune.
No, I can't. It's rubbish.
Yeah, thank you very much, OK? And I don't care what anybody else says. Alicia Keys, Jack White. No.
There's no tune.
No, I mean, in fact, it's funny, because in the wake of it, I did go back and listen to View to a Kill, which I'd always thought, you know, which was so terrible, and thought, actually, no, at least View to a Kill's got something in it. No, it's all over the place. Second title, rubbish. Taken from a story which this has nothing to do with. And I'm sorry, if you call something Quantum of Solace, there needs to be a point at which you go, oh, okay, that's a really clever thing to have called it, rather than it's like Pond of Wood, you know, Fish of Trees. It is. Sorry, there
Pond
we go.
Pond of Wood is good.
Yeah, it is. But Quantum of Solace in relation to this particular Bond film, where is the quantum of, what's the solace? And
well, right at the end, you get a reference to quantum.
Yeah, where's the solace?
There's not a lot of solace in
it. No, fine. I could say Journey to Mars and say, well,
no,
at some
Pond
point...
of Wood is Pond of Wood is much better.
Okay, the new Bond movie, Pond of Wood.
But
here's the main problem. You can't sing me the title. You can't sing me the song. You can't explain the title. We should say that we saw this in the same screening, right? Tell me the story.
Well, that's the other... Well,
tell me the story.
There's the other thing.
Go on.
Well,
what's the story?
Well, yeah. It kind of picks up from a couple of hours after the end of the last movie.
Yeah, I already did that in the setup. What's the story? What happens then?
Well, can you do it?
No, because we all sat there with the same thought, and the thought was this. Do I not know what's going on because it's incomprehensibly told? Or do I not know what's going on because I don't care? Now, the interesting thing is this.
The former.
Yeah, well,
I
wanted to understand, but I found that actually after a certain point, I just didn't care. And that is the crucial problem here is you stop caring. Now, look, there is a backstory to this, which is there was a point when Roger Michell was kind of in negotiations for all of this. And he was saying that he said at that point, and I'm quoting, he said, I was very nervous. There was a start date, but really no script at all. OK, and the start date was later pushed back, got in a different director. Paul Haggis came in. Paul Haggis apparently finished the rewrites just before the writer's strike. And there was rewrites rumoured to be going on during the actual production itself. And then, of course, there were stories about what did or didn't happen in the cutting room. In the end... we never know what happens in the background of a movie. All you know is what's on screen. And what's on screen is this. It's a film which is helmed by serious dramatists, by a director who does characters, written by somebody who does, you know, characters and plot. And yet, it actually looks like a film that's largely directed by the second unit. I mean, interestingly enough, the second unit director is Dan Bradley, who did the Bourne movies, if anything, is the auteur of this film. Because the chase sequences, which are incredibly Bourne-inflected,
are those are the thing. It's like the movie. It's got these heavyweight dramatists. It's got Daniel Craig, a good actor. It's got a character director. It's got a proper screenwriter. And then it just loses its nerve and goes into bang smash action stuff. It begins with not one but two chase sequences before we even start doing anything to do with plot or development. And here's the big problem. If you look at the Bourne movies, the second action, the second unit stuff is absolutely brilliant. But crucially, the second unit stuff is all held together by Paul Greengrass. Greengrass is a director who understands drama and action, and he understands the two things. This is one of you go, why is this film being directed by that director? Because clearly he does not know how to marshal these two things. He can't bring together the character and the action. So what the film keeps doing is just flipping back into explosive action because it can't do anything else. And that is a really bizarre thing. I mean, you're meant to think, you know, what's the key to this great Chinatown-like mystery which is unfolding? You don't. What you think is the mystery is, why is it being helmed by this guy who so clearly hasn't got a handle on the material? So you get into the... Now, second thing is, despite the fact that there's an awful lot of violence... And
how many things are there to get to?
It's a few.
There's a second of what? Just so we can pace ourselves.
Let's say three, OK.
So we're halfway through, are we?
Yeah, you know, obviously we're losing time now because you keep...
And what is a second unit? What do they do?
It's the guy... OK, you get the main direction stuff, which is the character, you know, the main actor. Yep. Second unit is action, really. You know, other stuff.
OK, second of 3 points now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Fine. There's no pain. And that's a real problem. The thing that had made Casino Royale work was it hurt. When you had those fight sequences, they hurt. In the BBFC's ruling on this film, it says it contains frequent, fast and furious action sequences, including high-speed chase sequences and plane dogfights, with plenty of gunfire and explosions. In most cases, there are few human casualties visible in the scenes. And where people are hurt, there's little or no focus on the blood. And actually... funnily enough, they've cut right to the heart of it. There's no pain. In Casino Royale, you felt like people were losing things. You felt like people... In this film, despite how much they talk about loss, despite how much they talk about him not being able to get over the trauma of what happened in Casino Royale, there is no trauma. This stuff is running at you, and you're thinking, why am I not feeling in any way endangered? Why am I not feeling in any way involved? Why don't I care more? Now, even worse, at one point I found myself thinking... if it wasn't James Bond in these fight sequences, this would be a Jason Statham movie. And
Jason
suddenly,
Statham.
It would be. It's just guys in a room banging each other's head against walls. But not in the way that in Casino Royale you thought, oh, crikey, they're going to get hurt, which is actually what always made On Her Majesty's Secret Service the most interesting Bond movie up until that point, despite the fact that What's-His-Name was clearly rubbish as Bond and ended up being George Lazenby ended up being in the straight-to-television Emmanuel, you know, series. That was how his career went after Bond. There's no physical... result of any of this stuff. It's just like watching Teletubbies bouncing around in a padded cell, because in the end nobody really gets hurt, despite the fact they keep
third point is
I'm sitting there thinking that the people keep bringing up the product placement thing. I've got a list of all the product placement, but you know what, I can't be bothered to read it because of this. When I was watching Casino Royale, when he did the ka-ching moment with the watch, right, it was like,
is that a Rolex?
It's a shame, because up until that point I was in the scene. With this, I wasn't in the scene. So when the ka-ching stuff started interrupting, there was nothing for it to interrupt. I mean, almost the worst criticism of the film is the product placement didn't bother me because I wasn't involved enough in the film to be bothered by the product placement taking me out of the fantasy of the film. And when the adverts don't interrupt the program, you know the program isn't up to snuff. And believe me, I take no pleasure in saying this. I think Daniel Craig is the best Bond, and I'm sure that he will carry on being great and he will do more brilliant work. And it may well be that the Bond, I'm sure the movie will take loads and loads of money, but you can't deny this, because I spoke to you afterwards.
I rang you up.
It's a mess.
I rang
Simon.
You up because I thought, is it just me? Because I came out feeling thoroughly, well, very, very disappointed and completely confused by the whole thing, thinking, well, I didn't... If the story is what I think it was, it wasn't much of a story anyway once I worked it out, but why did it take so long to try and work out what the story was?
And yet it wasn't long. It's 106 minutes.
It felt long.
It felt long. I mean, the other thing I have to confess, there was one moment in the middle of sort of, you know, blowing something up in the middle of a desert. I felt the heavy eyelids happening. And that's never good in a chase.
Let's take some travel. There's another clip, and there's a bit of
no, because we've got to go to Ghost Town. I mean, in a way, the saddest thing is I have nothing else to say.
I don't believe
no, because
that for a moment.
I want to embrace this. I mean, you can't. I can't tell you how much I want to tell you. I was so pleased when Casino Royale was great, and I love Daniel Craig. I can't lie to you. I just can't lie to you. It's
would
just
you lie to me?
All over. Would you lie to me, honey? High School Musical 3 is a better film. High School Musical 3 knows what it's doing. It does it. Does what it says on the tin.
I know. There's already one listener that we've lost already. So
you can hear them flooding off to LBC even as I speak. But I'm sorry, it's
whatever
true.
Whatever that is,
I did have one other thing to say.
We need longer.
Apparently,
what?
It's the first time a Bond movie has been released day and date with a video game of the movie, and I think that kind of sums it up.
Ed Salt. Dear Doctor, Doctor, can't see you, I'm burning, burning. Regardless of how Bang Crash Wallet Blimey, the new Bond film is, what's with the title? A mere literature B.A.ons myself. I've no idea what it means, but according to Dictionary.com, Quantum of Solace could be translated into English as a bit of amusement. Another case of a film's title reviewing itself, he puts with a question mark. One more I'll just bring you from Martin in Old Portsmouth, who writes one more time. Dear Romulus and Remus, he's got a long it's a long preamble, but he gets to the chase here. I don't really blame Paul Greengrass for starting all this. I blame Spielberg for making too good a job of the opening of Saving Private Ryan, which redefined what action sequences were all about. And lo, the acolytes made haste for the bandwagon without first applying logical thought. So let us do that instead. The opening of Saving Private Ryan was meant to convey the horror, confusion and claustrophobia and sense of helplessness felt by soldiers on Omaha Beach. It was meant to be a first-person experience and, as such, worked in stunning fashion. You don't want the same first-person experience whilst watching Bond and his Oppo having a punch-up. We are onlookers, not participants. And as such, we want to know what's happening and not spend the fight sequence looking at a load of close-ups of Daniel Craig's right ear, left nostril, armpit, forehead in rapid sequence. Let me call as Exhibit A, a film we often call upon, much to Mark's pleasure, The Princess Bride. The classic swashbuckling sequence where Wesley and Inigo Montoya, all together now, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. Mowage. Which was filmed at distance with a slow-moving camera. You can see what's happening. There's no confusion. It's great. Why can't all action scenes be like that?
Well, this, funnily enough, is almost quoting something which I said myself in a review of a film about a year ago, which was the problem with Saving Private Ryan was it did that thing. It created a new aesthetic. It did it for a purpose. The problem was that aesthetic was then recreated ad nauseum for no purpose at all. And it was a terrible thing to look back on everything that had happened since that opening sequence of Saving Private Ryan and know that.
Quantum of Solace, of course, comes out next week. But all the reviews are happening now, which is why we're doing them. And this discussion will continue. And feel free to email
during
the week.
Next week, you know, please leap in. I know that I'm not, you know, all I can
fine,
say, can't lie to you.
On Wednesday, we're going to do Bourne versus Bond. And on Friday, we'll pick up this discussion again and we'll do it. However, we do need to mention that Ghost Town comes out. Ricky Gervais's first lead. He came on the programme. Here's what the doctor thinks.
Okay, he came on the programme. As you know, the deal is he's a dentist. Ha, 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 ha. That's a gag already itself in America. He goes in for a routine operation. Because Ricky Gervais got funny teeth. He goes in for a routine operation. He dies on the operating theatre, doesn't know about it, wakes up, he can see ghosts. He goes back to the hospital to ask them what happened.
Did anything unusual happen during my procedure?
You died.
I died?
A little bit.
For how long?
7 minutes.
A bit less.
I died for 7 minutes.
A bit less.
Approximately.
That's really
seven...
the only thing that I can think of that was.
How did I die?
For the record, we did not recommend that you use the general anesthesia. When you use anesthesia, there is a chance, although it is small, of a biochemical anomaly.
Where's the anesthesiologist? I want to see him now.
Oh, he does not work here anymore. You'll be happy to know that at St. Victor's, we have a very strict three strikes policy.
My anesthesiologist had two strikes.
Okay, let's all calm down. Let's just not overdramatize the situation.
Why is he calming down?
Everybody dies.
Yeah, but usually at the end of their life, and just the once, and forever.
Everybody's different.
The dramatic pause left in there because the pauses are important. You know, here's the thing with Ghost Town. An awful lot of British comedians go over to America and make, you know, American movies, and they don't work very well. The Ghost Town is a very unassuming little film. It's directed by, I can't pronounce his name, he's written on a bunch of really big movies. You know, big sort of action adventure, Spider-Man, Zathura, War of the Worlds. The nice thing about Ghost Town is it's how small it is. It's a very simple idea. He's now in New York. He can see, he's now in America, and he can see ghosts. And one of the ghosts he sees is is Greg Kinnear, who is the deceased husband of Tia Leone, who he died whilst cheating on her, and now he wants, you know, some form of resolution. And it's, I know other people have made this comparison, it's like those early funny Woody Allen comedies in which there'd be a strange little maybe fantastical conceit like Sleeper or something, which is a, you know, a science fiction movie. In fact, Woody Allen did make a ghost movie, didn't he, in the Shape of Alice, although that was later on. But the idea is fairly simple and fairly unpretentious, and it's a small movie, and I'd like to see what the script looked like before, because Ricky Gervais's line seems so much to be Ricky Gervais' line.
He did ad lib. He was allowed to.
Yeah, I'm sure he did, because it did an awful lot of it is that thing. But here's the key thing. You know, I laughed all the way through. I started laughing at the beginning, and I laughed pretty much solidly through to the end. And I thought it was very unassuming and nicely put together, and a nice kind of low-key approach, but plenty of smiles and plenty of... I mean, I just kept laughing. And I, about 10 minutes into it, I thought, well, you know, whatever. It's not a masterpiece, but in terms of doing what it says on the pack for entertaining and making me laugh and making me happy and making me smile, does the job. And the funny thing is, Ricky Gervais, you think of him as being such a particularly British you know, phenomenon, and you wonder whether he'll work within this very, very sort of American confection. And he works perfectly well. He's clearly a really smart guy and a really smart actor, and clearly he wouldn't have done this unless he thought the script was in pretty good shape. I laughed. It was funny.
It is good. And a little bit
you've
of
seen it as well.
Yeah, a bit of Groundhog Day, a bit of Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Adrian in Kent, dear Cubby and Harry, the definition of a good dad is a cynical 42-year-old who went with his 5-year-old daughter to endure High School Musical 3 at the advanced screenings on Wednesday. The definition of a good TV programme is something that's good on TV. The definition of a good film is something that makes £21 for a family ticket worthwhile.
Yep.
The definition of an utter load of bilge, only brightened by the fact my daughter likes it, is High School Musical 3. Is this the future for Disney? Releases 2011, Ice Age 5, Madagascar 4 and High School Musical 6, The Marriage. What he adds now, and finally, with a sense of trepidation, Dr. Mark Kermode, is the movie of the week?
Well, actually, it's Ghost Town, but I really liked High School Musical 3. But it's a joint. It's a joint honour, because they both do what they say on the pack, and they both know what they're doing. They both know who their audience are.
We'll talk more on this, Bond versus Bourne, on Wednesday's programme, and the debate will continue next Friday. Thanks very much indeed for listening. Have a fantastic weekend.
Thanks for downloading from the BBC. To find other downloads or more information, go online.
bbc.co.uk/5live.